Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Soul Reaper by Yves Langlais, narrated by Tyrin Wilder. Prologue.
That didn't last long.
Moloch's freedom, after so many centuries of imprisonment, proved short-lived. He'd gone from plotting to take over Earth to being dumped in Intraris, and it didn't please him one bit. Damn the Mesovenata for tricking him. He'd thought she'd be easy to beat. After all, she barely knew how to use her magic. Not to mention no human-made weapons could kill him. Harm, yes, but none were deadly enough to truly end his life. Yet despite that, the Mesovenata proved herself cleverer than expected. She dragged him into a portal and somehow thrust him into the one place he didn't want to be. Not for long. Once he escaped back to her world, she'd pay for what she'd done. Upon his return, he wouldn't waste time taunting and forget breeding with her. When next he saw her face, he'd kill her. First, though, he needed to find a wild doorway to Earth. Not an easy thing to do, given the places where the dimensions abutted tended to move without notice. However, he knew the signs to look for. The way the air sizzled with anticipation, shadows behaved oddly, and reality itself would bend and warp. He just hoped it wouldn't take long to find a spot to cross back over. There'd been a reason he'd avoided coming home after his release from prison. The princes, born of his loins but with no love or loyalty for their father, had betrayed him. Rather than make any kind of attempt to rescue him, they'd split up his kingdom amongst themselves and done their best to keep him locked away. Moloch had almost despaired of ever escaping, until a minion loyal to him found out about Sadie's existence, the Mesovenata. It hadn't been easy for Moloch to keep her hidden. It involved commanding a pair of humans from afar, making promises he never intended to keep, and for them to follow his directions. At his command, they'd kidnapped the Mesovenata at birth, groomed her to be weak, kept her powerless by feeding her magic-nullifying drugs. Even with all that manipulation, his plan almost failed. Sadie had begun to awaken, her innate abilities pushing against the restrictions placed on them. But in the end, Moloch prevailed. When the planets aligned to give him his best chance, her blood released him. He'd been set to regain his former glory. By subjugating Earth, he'd planned to lure those who'd defected in Inferis back to his rule. A glorious plan that failed. Now instead he'd be mocked. Fooled by a slip of a human, one who didn't even fully grasp the extent of her magic. He wouldn't underestimate her again. The barren landscape radiated heat from a trio of suns that never fully set. No matter the time of day, one or more always shone. They baked the ground to a hard clay, sucked all the moisture from skin. Very little grew on the surface, which meant there was no cover for a trudging, disgraced demon king. Flying specks in the sky caught his attention. Nothing around him provided a place to hide, and, no surprise, those aerial beasts banked in his direction. He cursed. What were the chances their riders were still loyal to the true king? None, as it turned out. The trio of winged rocks swooped low enough he could see the demons holding the reins, their armor matte black with gold insignia, indicating they were the king's soldiers. A color they shouldn't have been wearing, seeing as how he was the king and he didn't command them. As the rocks neared, Moloch paused and held his head high. In a voice that carried, he boomed, "My loyal soldiers, thank you for the welcome." Moloch's attempt to sway them failed. They didn't even reply, simply dropped a net, which he tried to avoid. However, the riders knew how to hunt and used magic to twist the wind so the net draped over him. The calum in the strands, a metallic ore that had the ability to nullify his power, burned his flesh. When the riders alit, he did his best to stand straight under the burning weight and barked, "You dare to accost your king?" The leader of the aerial squad swaggered close and pulled off his helm to reveal one eye sealed shut and scars that crisscrossed his visage. Moloch didn't recognize him. Those who would have remembered him would be long dead. Only the very gifted lived long.
King? Sneered the Rock Rider. We have no king. You do now, impertinent imp, Moloch barked. I have returned, and woe to those who stand in my way.
The Rock Rider scoffed.
Why would we follow a weak king when we have a mighty emperor?
The title proved to be a reminder of the gossip Moloch had gleaned from the demons who'd chosen to remain loyal. One of his upstart sons, the youngest of his princes, had chosen for himself a lofty title.
He is no emperor,
Moloch snarled.
As your true Dark Lord, I command thee to release me at once. Command me?
The soldier guffawed, as did his companions.
As if we'd obey a criminal. And what exactly is my supposed crime? Conspiring against the Empire, stealing soldiers from the legions. They defected to me because they knew I was their true lord,
Moloch growled.
Not any more, you aren't. By decree of the Emperor, you are a traitor, and as such are to be arrested on sight.
The Rock Rider turned to his companions.
Let's bring him to the capital.
In short order, a pair of rocks had hold of the net and ignobly carried Moloch over the wasteland of his home. Moloch didn't abase himself by begging or pleading, nor did he bother trying to escape. The net, made to hold demons and nullify magic, left him powerless. Best he wait until an opportunity presented itself. Besides, his feet could use a rest. It didn't take too long to reach the capital, which had grown since his departure. It sprawled at the base of a mountain, thriving despite being absent of a king. A king who received no accolades or respect. Moloch's return to the city he'd left eons ago did not have the victorious flair he'd dreamed of while locked away. While its denizens did pop out for a peek, it wasn't to exclaim in awe, but to point and laugh. He'd kill them all for the humiliation. Painfully. The fortress had also expanded. The mountain that housed it, one of the rare peaks in this world, showed more windows and balconies than before. The outside had been intricately carved and had spots of color where some of the lines had been painted. As they flew closer, he even noted ponds lined with foliage, spouts in the center of them spraying water in the air, a wasteful use of it given how little they had to even grow crops. Not that demons ate foliage. The fodder went to their herds, which in turn were slaughtered to feed the populace. They alighted in a courtyard lined with more soldiers garbed in dark mat armor. The Kalem net remained around Moloch as they force-marched him into the palace where he noted more changes. The gloomy atmosphere he'd cultivated, gone. Tapestries with brilliant depictions of battles he didn't recall adorned the walls. Magical bulbs provided light. No cobwebs or dust could be seen anywhere. Disgusting. How did anyone take his son seriously in such a place? Everyone knew to inject the proper amount of fear and respect, one's surroundings should reflect a vile nature. The throne room remained in the same location, but was also transformed. The reddish stone whitewashed, the floor polished and gleaming. The throne of bones, featuring the skulls of his enemies, was gone, replaced with something monstrously garish and golden. Atop the throne, his traitor son, Leviathan, the youngest of his sons, with dark, lustrous hair and a very human mien that could have used some horns. Time to take control of the situation. Moloch stood tall and adopted a stern mien.
You're sitting in my seat.
His son didn't move, but he did smirk. Yours? This throne is mine.
Traitor! Moloch boomed. You dare to usurp my kingdom?
Usurp? Leviathan arched a brow. You abandoned Inferis, and chaos descended. Someone had to step in and give the citizens what they needed.
Hardly abandoned, Moloch snarked. Tricked by you and imprisoned, which you well know.
I do. How embarrassing for you, Leviathan taunted with a shake of his head.
Ungrateful bastard, I am your father.
His son laughed. Since when? Was it when you beat me, neglected me, had me tossed in the pit to claw my way out?
It's called making you strong.
Oh, it made me strong, all right. Strong enough to decide I wanted to be the one giving orders.
You aren't fit to lick my hooves, spat Moloch. Now that I've returned, you will...
You seem to be under the mistaken impression that you give orders around here. You don't, by the way. I am the one in command. Leviathan rose from his throne and slowly descended the steps.
That's not how things work. The crown is mine until death, Moloch spat.
Usually. However, there was no protocol to follow for when a king gets himself tossed into another dimension.
Which you had a hand in. But all can be forgiven if you agree to step down.
I don't think so. I rather like how things are. But since you insist on reminding me of the laws you set, then so be it. Let us fight to the death. Leviathan waved a hand, and someone handed him a sword. Moloch's sword, to be exact.
Is there anything of mine you haven't stolen?
Moloch spat. Hardly stolen, given you left it all behind when you abandoned us. But you are right. The blade was yours. So here you go. He offered it to Moloch, leather-wrapped hilt first. A good thing, since the callum in the blade would nullify his magic. Moloch wasted no time in snatching the blade and immediately sliced through the net to free himself. Then he pointed the tip at his son.
Fool! You shouldn't have armed me.
Rather than prostrate himself or look worried, his son offered a cold smile. You once said no one could beat you in a fight. Shall we see if that's true? As Leviathan spoke, he pulled forth a sword from the sheath at his hip, smaller than Moloch's, and yet the sight of it almost brought a shiver.
Where did you get that?
Leviathan lifted the blade and eyed it. I had this weapon forged for my personal use. Do you like it? Like your weapon, it's made entirely of callum.
Impossible. There wasn't enough callum left to forge a blade.
Moloch would know, as he'd confiscated every known nugget. There'd only ever been enough to make his sword and a few daggers. The dust left over from the rare and precious ore had been woven into the net used to capture him. Lucky for me, upon expanding the fortress, I discovered a large chunk of it, enough to make this beauty. Leviathan waggled it.
Are you ready?
I'd like to get this over and done with, as I have a dinner engagement I don't plan to miss. Casual mocking enraged Moloch, especially since he could see the sniggering amongst the courtiers watching. Time to show them who was the true Dark Lord. The grip on his sword felt familiar and not. It had been a long time since he'd wielded the weapon. However, some skills were never forgotten.
I agree we should make haste, as I am eager to punish those who betrayed me,
Moloch stated. Look at you, so eager to die. Leviathan once more smiled. With reason. The young prince he'd last known had grown considerably in skill during Moloch's incarceration. Moloch's first feint was handily batted aside and led to taunting.
Where's that renowned skill of yours? I expected better.
Leviathan danced among Moloch's mighty strikes, somehow never being where he should, his speed enhanced by magic. Moloch growled as he pushed more of his own power into his strokes. The clashing of blades echoed atop each other in a single note of cacophony as their rapidity blurred the individual clashes. The first line of ichor appeared on Moloch's arm. It didn't heal. Callum injuries disabled his magical ability to fix wounds. The first cut was followed by a stripe across his leg. By the fourth burning streak, the realization hit. Moloch had gravely miscalculated his son's skill. But he couldn't give up. There would be no mercy from the prince he used to beat for his mouthy manner. There could also be no surrender, as Moloch would not survive the shame. There would be no... Leviathan watched dispassionately as the seed donor who'd contributed to his birth lost his head. It bounced on the floor until it came to rest at a courtier's feet. The Emperor of Inferis, a position won by might and now tradition, casually wiped his blade on the former king's corpse before sheathing it. "Have his body hung from the walls and his head mounted on a spike. Let everyone see, especially the traitors who sought to overthrow his position, who truly was the strongest." After a meal with his favorite concubine of the day and his cock eased by her mouth, Leviathan penned a letter to the one who'd made his victory possible. "To the Mesuvenata named Sadie, thank you for returning Moloch to Inferis. It might please thee to know he's been executed for treason. Expect soon a token that will serve as a gesture of thanks. Until we meet, Leviathan, the Emperor of Inferis." Left unsaid, soon to be ruler of Earth. Chapter 1. Don't let them see me. I held my breath in case it could be heard. Invisibility only hid my physical presence. It couldn't conceal any noise I made. Magic swirled in a layer around me as I stepped quietly past those watching. They never even noticed. Suckers. I'd gotten better at evading them. In the months since I'd banished Moloch to Inferis, I'd finally begun to figure out my powers. I had to. I couldn't ignore the missive I'd received from the so-called Emperor promising we'd meet. Wouldn't it figure that as soon as I rid Earth of one menace, another popped into its place? With that threat hanging over my head, I'd been practicing my magic daily, first figuring out how to call on it without the need for emotional turmoil, where once I required rage or another strong emotion to adrenalize my power. I now could use my abilities simply by concentrating. Unlike the other witches, I didn't require special words or gestures. I only had to think to shape my magic. Think, for example, of being invisible, and I could step past Kane and Vance, who stood guard at the bottom of the stairs, waiting for me to appear. Some might wonder why I tried to avoid the two men I wanted in my bed. Simple. They wanted me to choose, but I refused. I liked them both, wanted them both, and I'd made it clear that nothing else would do. After all, polyamory had become a thing in recent years, and the books made it sound so yummy. Being men built on pride and victims of jealousy, they refused. They demanded I choose one or the other. I held firm, even as I teased them, which in turn tortured me. Stolen kisses and flirty winks didn't ease the ache between my legs. You know what did feel good? Besting them, sneaking past the most gifted hunters the Reaper Guild had to offer. As I moved away, with them none the wiser, my step quickened only to halt abruptly as Nova suddenly stepped out of her office and in my way. "Screwing with your bodyguards again," she remarked, seeing through my illusion. No matter how hard I tried, she could always spot me because of the magic I used. I let it dissipate and heard the barks of surprise at my back as my protectors noticed I'd managed to slip past. "Just honing my skills," I stated primly. "How about putting them to practical use?" Nova inquired. "What's up?" The last month had been quiet. With Moloch gone, the demons crossing over from Inferis to Earth had slowed to a mere trickle. Everyone assumed the biggest threat was over. But I knew better. I'd told Nova about the note. A note that disintegrated in my hand after I read it, leaving me with no evidence. She asked me if perhaps I'd dreamt it because I worried about Moloch's return. Nope. I knew he was dead. Just like I knew the biggest challenge was to come. And I wasn't entirely sure it was this Emperor of Inferies. I'd yet to fulfill my promise to the entity that lived in the nothing space accessed by the portals that allowed us to travel between one place and another almost instantly. A voice no one else heard, and yet talked to me every time I stepped into that between space. To save the world, I'd made a bargain with the entity. A body in exchange for its aid in banishing Moloch. Sounded easy? Not really. I'd tried to give the disembodied voice a criminal. A human with an arrest sheet a mile long. Someone no one would miss. The voice rejected it soundly with a rebuke. Do you insult me, Mesovenata? Guess I couldn't blame it. If I had to be reincarnated, I'd want something better than a piece of shit. What do you want exactly? I'd tried to get clarification. Someone special. Not exactly clear instructions. I couldn't condemn anyone I knew in the Reaper's Guild or Witchy Sisterhood. Handing over someone important on Earth, like a president or royalty, also seemed kind of dangerous. Did I want to put this entity in a position of power? Not really. Who knew its intentions? I'd offered it a demon I captured. Also rejected. A vampire with a handsome mien and wealth who'd been preying on humans led me to being told, I want a form where I can walk in the sun. Who knew spirits with no bodies could be so picky? A month later, and I struggled to find someone that would appease the voice. It didn't help it was growing impatient. We lost another person to the portal, Nova stated softly as I followed her into her office. Shit. Not much else to say. The Regina, leader of the witches, knew of my bargain, and while not happy about it, claimed she understood why I'd had to make it. At the time, trading one life to save billions seemed fair. I know you're having issues finding what it wants, she added. Wouldn't you? I retorted. I'm essentially killing someone by handing them over. But now people are dying because you're hesitating. Are they dead? I countered. I mean, maybe the voice is just stashing them somewhere to use as hostages. Do you really believe that? My shoulders slumped. No. For the moment, we've put out word to not use the talismans. The talismans were what we used to activate those shortcut doorways. Hold on. If you do that, then we'll be stuck. Our castle and main headquarters was situated in the Rockies, in a valley impossible to reach without a helicopter or extreme multi-day hiking. We cannot take the chance the entity will take another Reaper. We lost three in the last week. No one I knew, but it would only be a matter of time before I did, seeing as how I'd started training with some of the Reapers because, as Kane stated, you might not always be able to rely on magic. A knock at the door led to Nova barking, Come in! Asher entered, looking peeved.
We lost another.
I'm aware, was Nova's low reply. I was just talking to Sadie about it. Asher whirled to fix me with his vivid blue eyes. He was a man in his late 50s. With his muscles and vitality, he could have passed for much younger despite his salt-and-pepper hair.
You need to give it what it wants.
I've been trying, I hotly exclaimed. It's rejected every single person I've offered.
Have you asked it why?
Asher drawled. It doesn't want anyone ordinary.
Meaning what?
He blurted. If I knew, we wouldn't be having this conversation, was my sharp retort.
I want it to stop taking my men.
So do I. If you have any volunteers who don't mind giving up their bodies, then feel free to send them my way. I snapped. While I might be responsible for making the bargain, it didn't feel fair to get blamed for the entity's pickiness. Had Asher forgotten that my deal saved the world?
I am not giving it any more of my men. Fix this,
he barked before stalking out. I glanced at Nova, who shrugged. The one we just lost was his nephew. Oh, fuck. It explained his anger. I rubbed my forehead. Guess I should go have a talk to the voice. A voice who'd almost told me its name once, but since then had been playing coy. Be careful, Sadie. We can't afford to lose you. Sounded caring, but I knew the truth. They didn't want to lose the Mesovenata, the only person who could touch both the male and female side of magic. It meant I could cast spells like a witch, but like a Reaper male, I could also see through the demon's fog-like camouflage. Unlike most of the others in the guild, I hadn't come into my powers until late in life. 42, to be exact. The saying about old dogs and new tricks? Not entirely true. This bitch was learning. But that didn't make up for the decades of practice the others had. I emerged from Nova's office and just about ran into Kane's chest. A wide chest, I should add, encased in a form-fitting navy blue t-shirt tucked into snug jeans. Very yummy.
Don't you dare turn invisible, he warned.
Or what? It's not like you can find me. I might have smirked. He offered me a predictable scowl.
Not funny. We're supposed to be protecting you.
From what? The demons have been routed. Moloch is gone. The castle is overrun with reapers and witches. And I am no longer useless. I held up my hand, and a ball of crackling fire hovered over my palm. Cocky, but it proved a point.
A bullet to the head will still kill you,
was his harsh rebuttal. I snorted. Yep, it will. And having you beside me when it happens will do exactly squat to stop it. I began walking toward the main entrance.
Now where are you going? He huffed.
To talk to a certain disembodied spirit.
You're going back into the portal?
Yep.
Did Nova not tell you we lost someone this morning?
She did. I walked out of the castle into bright sunshine and squinted.
Doesn't seem like a good idea to throw yourself in there,
he insisted, having followed me. Don't have much choice. We can't keep losing people.
We won't lose them if we stop using the talismans.
Kane had a simple solution, and for once it didn't involve killing the problem.
Without the talismans, how would we do our job? I whirled to ask. We can't have reapers in every single city in town. Part of the reason why the guild works well against demons is because we have the ability to move the reapers to where they're needed quickly.
Yeah, well, maybe it's time we found another way.
I'm all ears. Pray tell, what other way is there? I crossed my arms and arched a brow.
Now you sound like the Princep.
Asher's title is leader of the reapers. Because he's right. We need the talismans to work to do our job, and for that to happen, I have to give the voice what it wants.
What if it wants you?
I blinked at him. Wouldn't it have specified that at the time of the bargain?
Not necessarily.
Well, it's not getting me. As if I'd sacrifice myself. I might be a hero now, with more courage than I knew what to do with, but that didn't mean I had a death wish. Still, Kane planted a seed. So the first thing I did once I entered that cold nothing place that allowed us to travel was to mentally query, "Do you want my body?" Chapter 2. For most people, traversing a portal lasted less than a second. I wasn't most people. For me, it resembled more entering a vacuum of space. Nothing to see, just endless dark. Not a hint of light. Nor sound, just extreme cold. And the voice. It didn't so much speak aloud as make itself heard. Hello, Sadie.
Don't you hello me. You killed another Reaper.
Being confrontational might not have been my best choice. However, the pressure coming at me, not to mention the guilt, had me irate. I killed no one. Then where are the Reapers? Three of them entered, but haven't been seen since. Our talismans worked by either bringing us to the anchor it had been paired with, for example, the dais in the woods near the castle, or to a location we visualized. Reapers had been using them for centuries to get around the world.
I took the travelers to where they wanted to be.
No, you didn't, because they're missing.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?